mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 322. And I'm back with my posse. No wonder you don't recognise me. I'm Adam, by the way, and here's Debbie Melrose.
On this planet, there is a saying that it is never too late.
Mary Lang.
Constable Wilkes says that poor boy's face was terrible to look at. Something must have frightened him something terrible before he died.
Have I forgotten someone? That's really thrown me. Is that everyone?
Kirby.
Oh, Kirby. How can I forget? And Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
You fancy buying a rabbit or two?
Is that supposed to be the accent?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, where's your northern accent?
Yes, we're back. Well, Andy isn't, because Andy's...
Front and sides, too.
Andy, unless he had a computer to have on his lap while they're being sat on the toilet, unfortunately can't make it to the show. This week.
Bless him. Get well soon, Andy.
And Paul Wilson is still settling in on the Isle of Wight and is out having a meal, so he can't be on the show either. And that therefore leaves us. Isabella was going to be on it, but as it got past 8 o'clock, she got a bit tired, went to bed, and I did say to her, will you have them watch the episode anyway? So that leaves us again. So, yes. Anybody got any questions? Because I was rather flying it solo last week, and even you lot couldn't be bothered to listen to all the effort I went to that weekend recording. And
I listened to two-thirds of it.
The effort I went to that weekend recording interviews. But I could have just been relaxing on my weekend off and just meeting these people without an audio recorder. But no, I went to all the trouble trying to record interviews with people. But no,
I was glad that you finally... Master. I was glad that you finally got to a convention that was more than just a giant media event.
A giant media? Oh, I see. You mean the BBC things.
The BBC? I mean, it looks like you had a great time.
I did have a great time. So anybody want to ask any questions in relation to convention stuff? I'd like to have a conversation with somebody about it. It'd be quite interesting. No? Okay. Yeah. I'll have a sip of Coke instead then.
I was going to say, did you... I didn't realise you were going to have a table.
No, I didn't. Well, I didn't.
Yeah, what
they
you
said
do
it was going to be a podcasting room. When I emailed them ages ago, I said, is there going to be a podcasting room? They said, yeah, there'll be a podcasting room. He sort of said it in a way, I don't know. Maybe we should set up a podcasting room. So I got there and there was these two tables together, both with the word podcast in sort of A4 random paper, and with the words said pod and cast, not podcast as a word, but pod and cast. And they said that there was another load of podcasters which were demanding interviews with guests and things like that. I said, oh, I'll just be happy for what I can get, sort of thing. But there wasn't any other podcasters that really turned up. Obviously, I did have a conversation with Steve, who was quite close by, but he was actually chaperoning some of the celebrities during the autograph signing section. So, but he's the big Flashing Blade future presenter, going to be and still is, and going to be taking over a little bit from Siobhan in the near future when it comes back from its hiatus. So he was quite interesting. That was the only podcasting connection, you know, at the convention. So I just had this table, and it was quite handy because I was able to keep my stuff there with me. So I'd sort of part all my gear by the table, go off and have a chat with everyone, you know, and meet a few people, meet some celebs, and then go back to my table when things settled down a little bit and there was certain, you know, a talk or whatever that I didn't really want to go to. Cool. So that was nice. And as I had the thing over the weekend, I just added more bits of my own paraphernalia around. On the last day, I obviously couldn't leave my case and stuff in the hotel, so I left my case at me podcasting table. The second day I brought my iPad along, and basically I streamed, you know, the 6-hour episode I streamed that all day, so that was quite nice. So people sat on the table nearby, they were sort of listening in to that particular episode. So yeah, that was quite good. Anything else?
I'm just glad you had a good time. I'm sorry I haven't caught up with it yet.
Oh, I see. So none of you have listened to it then, yeah.
So, do you think you'll be able to make it to Hooverville?
Hooverville is one I'd like to go to. I was hoping you listened to that particular conversation between me and
Yes,
Steve.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'd like to go to Hooverville. but I think a certain person might veto that particular plan. And to be honest with you, if I was going to go to, or was allowed to go to another convention, what is? What's fine?
You going?
Yeah, no, I'd like to go to it. But if I was, you know, like if somebody said to me, right, you can go to a convention. I know I haven't really experienced a lot of conventions, but I'd go back to Dimensions because it's not massive. It's quite a small convention, but there's a lot going on at it. Mm-hmm. It's very much an autograph based event, so I think it's basically for autograph collectors of geeky stuff. I mean, bearing in mind that weekend the Star Trek convention was on in Birmingham, where they set up the Enterprise Bridge, and Shatner was having pictures taken on it, and it was so cool. From what I was saying, I know Dave Simon, friend of the show, and famous person. He has selfies with lots of famous people, Dave Simon. If you go to his page, you'll see lots of pictures of him with famous people. And he was there posting images, very interesting images of the Enterprise Bridge, and with Shatner sat in the chair and stuff like that. But I had a great time at my particular event, meeting a lot of, and you know, having a proper chat with them, rather than... passing. Oh, hello! Nice to meet you. Blah blah. No, they would actually have a chat because by the afternoon things had settled down. There'd be a mad rush for autographs in the morning, and then people like Claire Clifford would then spend about 3 hours sat in a chair waiting for somebody to come and ask for something to be signed. Bear in mind, you had to pay for these unless you had a gold ticket like myself. You actually had to pay for autographs. You could have with a gold ticket, you have one autograph each. I wasn't that fussed about autographs, but I had these photos that I'd had taken with them, so I thought I might as well get the photos signed. Didn't have any luck with Peter Purvis to get. I got the picture, but I didn't get it signed. At the meal we had, he was a bit sticking to the rules, shall we say, because the rules are you're not allowed to have selfies with any of the stars because you've got to buy a picture. So I went up to him because there was these people going around each table trying to get snap pictures. Like, obviously, I was sat next to Matthew Waterhouse, so they come over and grabbed a picture with Matthew Waterhouse, which he did.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, that's all right. I just got to Peter Purvis. He said, nope. and then right at the end of the last day, just before we left, people were going up to him just grabbing selfies with him. So I thought, you git. So I could have done one with me. You know, but he was all right. So,
now, I'm guessing, since I haven't heard the entire episode, did you have a chance to interview Matthew Waterhouse?
No, he didn't want to do it. He did actually at the meal that I spoke to him about doing that. He said, oh, yeah, all right. And then when I spoke to Derek, the organiser, about getting some interviews, and he said, he obviously realised I wasn't sort of an in-your-face sort of interviewer. He sort of pulled all the stops out and just went around and said, yeah, all you have to do is go up to them and say, are you happy to have an interview with me? And they say, yes, do it. They did ask Matthew, and Matthew said no. So I wasn't able to get an interview with him, unfortunately.
Well, darn.
But John,
I haven't heard your thing either. Did you get a chance to talk with or interview Rob Sherman?
Yes, that's on the... Listen to the blimmin' show.
Yeah, honestly. That's on the... I heard that part.
Yeah, okay.
Now, talking about Rod Sherman, I have this rather splendid... that's mine, actually. I got my own one. I'll show you my one, shall I? So anybody viewing will be able to see my little doodle by... Rob Sherman. It's flipped there because it's a blimmin' irritating flipped image. But this is the...
It's backwards.
I just dropped some SD card. This is the one that we'll be offering up as a prize on 20 megabyte listeners and viewers, for that matter. So, you see that? That will be a prize. Okay. It says exterminate all listeners.
No, don't make her
watch 20 megabyte podcast. And that is a little doodle by Rob Sherman on the back. Is a 20 megabyte. It's my business card from 20 megabyte. I gave these out at the convention. 20 megabyte cards. You see it? They're very exclusive. There's only 250 of those. Yeah. So he's done that. That'll be a prize, rather exclusive prize, don't you think, Debbie?
Yes, I think so. Want it. I'm going to try and win.
And also, I've got this, of course, the new mascot for the show. It's Woolly Fivey. Rather cool, isn't it? Colin Baker got his own one of these. These are hand knitted. Oh, is that successful or not? These are hand knitted.
I thought they were wonderful. It's just a shame I couldn't jump up with the readies for it.
They're sort of one offs, you know. You know, she knits a few of these, but you know, they're not a lot of these around. These woolly dots.
Does she do them on Etsy at all?
Yes, actually. If you listen to the show,
I
Kirby,
the show.
Listen to the show. All the information's on there, and the interview with the actual knitter herself.
Yes, I have downloaded it.
I heard that part.
I haven't listened to it yet.
And his hat keeps falling off. I lost this hat. I was going to go up to say, how much does it cost to knit a new hat? And she said, oh, I think this might be yours. And it had been returned to her, basically, and then therefore returned to Wii number
That's
five.
Funny.
What's funny about that?
That's very sweet.
But yeah, he's now, oh, just that's fallen off again, the podcast mascot. Couldn't it?
Yay.
Yeah. Just thrown him on the floor. Right. Any other questions in regards to this marvellous convention, which I'd be happy to go through again, but don't think I will do, because it cost probably about £500-600 for me to go this time, one way or another. Nope. Okay.
So well, from the pictures you posted, it looks like you got around to see a lot of the cosplayers.
Oh,
that was interesting.
The only problem I found with the cosplayers, obviously they're wearing the same costume over the weekend. They got a little bit whiffy by the end of the weekend. Some of them decided to, you know. Yeah.
Adam?
Pardon?
Were Burning Skies cosplay group there at all?
No idea.
Okay.
Sorry.
Did you... For the master,
yes,
master. For people like Colin or Sylvester, did you remind them that we've spoken with them while they were over here in places like Huntsville?
I did mention Huntsville to Colin. He remembered going to Huntsville. He didn't remember anything else about it. I did mention this on the show. Listen to the show.
Thank goodness.
Why? Thank goodness.
He doesn't remember calling me Common.
I even actually had a conversation off air with Sylvester about you, Debbie, and you'd be glad to hear that he didn't remember you either. But I expect if he'd heard you laugh, he probably would do.
He would remember me. Yeah. Yes, he remembered my laugh when I met him again in Brighton earlier this year.
Because they get so many people coming up to them saying, "Oh, do you remember me this? Do you remember me that?" You know, and they're never going to really properly remember unless something really jogs their memory. I should have said Isle of Wight Ferry to Colin, but I was quite keen. Quite keen to get him to wear my pussycat badge, so I can now say that as worn by Colin Baker, pussycat badge now. So he did wear it, and I did take a picture of him wearing it. So you're allowed to take a picture of them with your phones, but we just weren't allowed to take a picture of them with you with your phone. Make sense?
Yes. Did you remind him about when you and Alistair were?
No, I'd already reminded him. I reminded him of that when I saw him at the Doctor Who celebration. I showed him the picture, and that's when he sort of talked about Alistair. He recognised Alistair, recognised Bessie. He remembered doing the trip over on the ferry and driving Bessie to the whatever it was, launch.
Yeah, and we also had the same discussion with him at Con GT.
I should have perhaps done that at the time, but it was a bit of a rush when it came to actually having a one-on-one with him. So don't fret. But yeah, anything else? I'll tell you, it's a really, really good convention to go to, basically because, you know, all the stars are quite nice and we get to see quite a lot of stars, especially if you have two doctors, have a picture taken with two doctors. Sarah Sutton was so lovely.
Did you get to chat to Fraser at all?
Not really. I sort of briefly, not a proper chat. He arrived and he sort of came in, I'm going to go back to where I've got a bit of a headache, and then I'll come back down again, sort of thing. You know, I could have done, but... again, it was a bit awkward trying to. I had the schedule in their program was a little bit all over the place, so I had to make my own schedule up of how I was going to, you know, plan my day out. And his autograph probably clashed with someone else's photograph, and it was a bit, you know, a bit awkward. I was a bit disappointed. I could have actually probably planned it to get a picture with him and then go and meet him and get the thing signed. But yeah, I did meet him. I did sit next to him, and he looked at the T-shirt and didn't remember anything about it, and I did actually say that we were supposed to, you know, speak to him at that convention that you mentioned just a minute ago, Kirby, and also
GT.
I reminded him the fact that he phoned me up to come up here on the 100th episode. He didn't remember that either, but none of them have got very good memories, it's got to be said, especially Colin. Sylvester was talking about the first time he ever met Colin, and he couldn't remember it, so... But that's on the show as well. Listen to the show.
we should have some very interesting conversations in March because we've got Sophie, Fraser, Andrew, and also we've announced we're getting Colin Spowell.
Pardon?
Colin Spowell.
Oh, Spowell, yeah. I'll tell you who was lovely. I mean, listen to that. Lee John was lovely. He was really
really
up for it when it came to the interview. And John Davey, as I've already said, he was so lovely. He sent me a message back saying, listen to the show and really liked it. So all in all, it was a fab weekend. Rob Shearman could have gone. I could have had about 15 interviews with him.
Yeah.
He was quite forthcoming with the chattiness. And he kept on sort of saying, oh, hello, Adam, as I went past the Big Finish table. And there was a girl on the Big Finish table, nay, woman, called Emily, and she was really nice looking and really funny and really fab. And John, little Jimmy V, was flirting with her big time at the drinks reception on the first night. It was really funny, so we had a bit of a laugh there. It was good. So many really good memories of the show. So, you know, things might pop into my mind as we go on. About that particular convention, which I'd really like to go to again. So I met a few people there who go every year, you know, because they love it, and I can see why.
One of these years, we need to get you over here to one of our conventions.
Yes, when I get some money to, when you get me some money to do that.
Right.
Bear in mind, the flight to Newcastle and back costs less than £100. I did check up the flight to Tennessee or wherever. More like £600 to £700 plus a train journey and loads of other bits and bobs to actually get me.
I'd like one for £400. I'm thinking about starting.
That's just one way though, dear. Crowdfunding. Did you say something about crowdfunding?
Yeah. Get me to a convention.
Then Kirby, you how is Ed coming with his tour plans?
What do you mean?
The Doctor Who tour.
Which tour?
Why are you at you? You said that Ed was planning a tour of sites over there that are, you know, Dr.
Oh, I don't know. He hasn't posted anything about it. He was out of the country for like 3 weeks, so.
Okay. He went
to Spain and places like that, so.
No, he couldn't be bothered to come over here.
Yeah, well.
Apparently not.
Anyway, if you go to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, you'll see all the lovely pictures that I was lucky enough to have at the convention, some of which I had to buy. That's the group ones, some of the group ones. But the big group one with all the guests was free. But anything like the picture of me and Colin and stuff like that, me, Colin, and Sylvester, I should say, I had to purchase. I think it was about £20, something like that. Others were tenor and, you know, the group shots, but I think the ones I really wanted were Colin and Sylvester and John Levine and Richard Franklin. That was one I was really quite pleased about getting that one, because I don't think a lot of people are going to get that, especially bearing in mind they're like in their mid-70s now. John Levine's a right laugh. He really is funny, but he's a bit blue when he does his stand-up thing. So I did record that, but I couldn't actually put any of it on the show because it was all quite rude and not family friendly. But yeah, John Levine's a proper character, and he left early. He was supposed to stay on, and then they had to rush through some photo shoots because he was keen to get away about 4 hours earlier than he should have done. But but he was really nice. He did a little video I posted when he was talking to some of the queuers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's just typical of what he was like throughout the weekend. Anyway, right, we're going to now review a story called Spearhead from Space.
Never heard of it. Now, just because there's three different versions available.
Yeah, they're virtually exactly the same. It's just the quality of the
The quality. Oh my goodness. I still don't have the Blu-ray.
Blu-ray. But
I do have the other two versions.
Yeah.
And the original version is so horrible.
Mm.
And then I posted a picture, a screen.
Mary.
What?
We must have watched a cleaned up version on the site that must not be named.
Yeah, we must have, because it looked pretty good.
Yeah, and then I posted a picture. I took a picture of my monitor and my Doctor Who wall and posted it a few days ago of the last scene of the Doctor grinning.
Mm-hmm.
And someone commented about that and said, that must be the Blu-ray. It's so clear.
Sorry, hold a second, I've made a boo-boo. Oh, yeah. Sorry, my feed was coming through. That would have sounded a bit weird, so about that. Right, yeah, sorry, carry on, Kirby, I do apologize.
Someone commented over that picture and said, oh, that must be the Blu-ray, it's so clear.
Mm.
I said, no, it's just a special edition.
Well, they did clean it up for the special edition, and they cleaned it up still further for the Blu-ray. Some messages have come through. Ashley Hugh said, how was the food? What did I have? Starter was a soup of some variety, and then I had chicken breast thing, which was really nice. And the pudding was profiteroles, but we only had four profiteroles on the plate. Me and Matthew had the same, virtually the same meal. That's Matthew Waterhouse, by the way. Name drop. Nice chap, I have to say, Matthew Waterhouse. Very nice chap. Very talented chap, actually. He's written some good stories and stuff. But didn't want to talk to me with the microphone stuck in the front of his face. But yeah, quite a nice chap.
That's odd. I was hoping.
What did you say?
I said that's odd. I was hoping that
I thought you said ignorant sod. Your audio is going a bit funny. Right.
I was hoping that you would be able to record something.
Yeah, so was I. And I thought I was, but it didn't happen. But never mind. I did get some really fab interviews with lots of people there. So. Alan C. Butcher says, excuse me, I've got a burp coming. No, he didn't say that.
Did he?
No. I don't know which order these messages are coming in, so I apologise if they're not coming in the right order. Who goes to Spain but not the Isle of Wight?
Yeah, exactly. My thoughts exactly.
Yeah. I'll let Eddie know.
No.
The Isle of Wight.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah, exactly.
It keeps on jumping out. Sorry about that. That was you who heard yourself, because my feed, I'm trying to get these messages to come up. Alan T. Butcher says, it's okay, he said posse. And then he says, if there's such a page, we could ask people to share it. Share it, Kirby.
I'm ignoring you.
Ashley Hughes, fun page to get Kirby internet. Oh, yeah, you said that earlier, didn't you? Oh, these are coming back, the earlier ones, dropped a clanner. And these must be in reverse order. Jeff Waddle, the writing on those cards was back to front. The mirror universe. Anne-Marie Blackall says, lol. I love Anne-Marie Blackall. There's most of the things here, the comments are lol, basically.
She must do, well, I'm glad they think we're lol.
No, she's lovely. Jill Harris, my mum, what's she doing up? She's not watching. Good to see you home and safe and sound. So, well, yeah, I was thinking that I'm flying and thinking what might have happened in the airplane. And Jeff Waddle says, let us see the pics of the dogs on the wall. Okay. Oh, they're talking about that, the one back there, the pics of the dogs on the wall back there. Anyway, yeah, thanks everyone. Keep them coming. Right, back to the story. Yeah, so the story begins with a rather sweaty... who are you laughing at?
You're right.
A rather sweaty comms bloke. Who's radar operator, really. Rather sweaty radar operator who must be really hot in that...
I said it must have been... I said it was the heat wave, because the superior officer mentions the heat wave.
Yeah. Yes, that's what they said in the info text. It's the heat wave.
Everybody's all sweaty, even that guy who finds the balls in the ground. He was all sweaty too.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't relate that to the heat wave. I just thought, well, must have been just sweaty.
Oh,
load of sweaty people in the early late '60s, early '70s. Yes.
During that scene when they cut away at one point and you look back and the woman in the scene, for some reason her unit badge is upside down.
Oh.
She must have gone to lunch.
What?
Yeah. Yes.
Must have gone to lunch, taken it off, put it back on.
Moving on, some meteorites, I use the term meteorites with inverted commas, sort of standing still with lots of air passing by them, and then they apparently hit the deck. and old sweaty poacher bloke decides he's going to try and sort of dig one up and put it in the bag. Then a TARDIS turns up and it changes shape. It changes shape mysteriously from one shot to the next.
Yes.
It's really, very, really clear to see. Not only does it change shape clearly from one shot to the next, it changes location very quickly.
Yeah.
I know TARDIS can do that.
Yeah, that was quick,
wasn't it? Yeah, that didn't work very well, that particular, especially on Blu-ray. And then the Doctor, obviously it's the Doctor, it's a TARDIS, isn't it? Falls out and falls flat on his face, faint plant into a bush. Well, not a bush, it was more undergrowth.
He's very good at the old slapstick, isn't he?
Well, he would be, wouldn't he? And then Liz Shaw turns up. And, of course, in case anybody didn't already know, the car park attendant was the producer of the show doing his last episode as producer. And that was Kirby. Who was it, Kirby?
Excuse me? Are you talking to me?
Was your name Kirby? Oh, God's sake.
But no, you keep dropping out.
No, I don't. Do I keep dropping out, everybody?
So it was Derek Sherwin is what you're saying.
Yes, Derek Sherwin was the cameo sort of car park attendant, I suppose you call him. Would you call him a car park attendant, Kirby?
I think he was like...
I guess.
gatekeeper-y.
He's a guard. He's a guard.
But he was looking after the car park.
Well, we don't call them car parks, though.
His last episode, his last story as a Doctor Who producer, which is quite nice to have that overlapping thing from the Troughton to the Pertwee era. It's a shame he couldn't have just brought Jamie along with him. Talking of Jamie and Fraser Hines, I did post on the 20 megabyte page. He appeared in something about Celebrity Do the Washing or something like that. Do you know that program, Demi? It's an afternoon show.
No.
With Brian McFadden as presenter. Yeah, he was on that. Well, they took a load of innocent people off the street to his house. Obviously, they don't know whose house it is they're at. And they have to give them clues as to. And they have to work out who the celebrity is.
Well,
and
like through the keyhole, but actually.
But if they don't work out who the celebrity is, they have to do the washing. But there was loads of sort of references to Doctor Who. Obviously, Emmerdale, because he was in Emmerdale, but. He mainly went on about the Doctor Who references. That's Fraser, by the way. And he was much more bubblier in this particular thing than he was in real life. But never mind. Anyway, right, so we have the Brig, and he's still not quite right, moustache.
Oh,
and this herself is wearing a very strange outfit, I've noticed. It's the first time I've noticed this strange outfit. It seems to have these great sort of plastic... scaly things on the front.
Yeah, it's like she's wearing bubble wrap or something.
Master?
Yes.
Yes. The costume people had just gotten a hold of a vacuum form machine, so they were experimenting.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Wearing costumes like that then, yeah.
Yeah. It was a very strange outfit. But I did have, when you were watching it on Blu-ray and you can see all the detail and stuff, I did find fascinating looking at the Brigadier's equipment on his desk, like the trill phone. Is it what they call that? Is it a trill phone? I never call the name of those. There was old phones that made a funny sort of noise.
Yeah, I can't remember what they called. I tried to write that down, trying to work it out.
You mean not every British phone sounds like that? That's how I thought all British phones
sounded. Shut up, Kirby. And of course, he had a little calendar on there and an ashtray, which obviously he didn't seem to be using.
My last phone was Tigger.
And he's sort of being a bit patronising towards her. She's not taken it. The doctor, meanwhile, has been taken to the local hospital. And the very clever doctor has noticed he's not human. There's something a bit odd about him. Yes.
This is the very first time that the two hearts was mentioned.
Yes, it is.
Although, for some reason, he's had physical exams before this, and he didn't have two hearts.
Indeed. Yeah, they mention it, don't they? Because of, what is it? What one is it?
I don't know.
Where they pick up Zoe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a medical examination in that, and they don't mention it.
Right. Anyway, some feeds...
Wheel in space.
Some words have come through on the feed. Matthew Waterhouse, eat... roast dinosaur. What's he on about? Matthew Waterhouse, eat roasted dinosaur. Oh, I see. That's a Earth Shock reference. So that's a picture I had with Matthew and Claire and Sarah. We were supposed to be doing like an Earth Shock pose. Matthew and... who's he on? Me and Matthew sort of posed a little bit, but Claire and Sarah didn't quite get in on it. But it's quite a good picture, nevertheless. Ashley Hughes said, you guys didn't do any quotes. Was he not listening to that
we
first?
We did.
Yes, Kirby I responded to him
said,
already.
We did. Jeff Waddle said, what? Through the heel for something, I can't say that word rude on word on air.
Jeff. Have done them before you got your live feed going.
No, I had the right live feed going a long time before you started the episode, Mary. So all that
maybe stuff, he wasn't listening.
All that stuff you were saying about Kirby was on the live feed.
We could do them again if you like, because
no,
I'd love
I'm
to
not
hear
doing
the
them again. Back to the episode. And yeah, so he's spotted that something odd about the doctor's x-rays. And some cleaner, I think it was a cleaner or a janitor, overhears him talking to somebody on the phone and then phones the...
press.
The press, yeah.
The press.
This little booth he's in, he sort of goes in to make this call. That reminds me of the booth that we had at Cow's Post Office. We had about four of them. Many years ago, before Debbie would remember, it was probably when I was about 6 or 7.
Yeah, it's so strange. It's a little room with a telephone in it that you can have privacy while you're on a telephone. Who would have thought about
these? Because the post office used to run
privacy when they're on
the office used to run the telephone system. In our post office in Cowes, which is not our post office anymore, we had a few of those exactly like that, wooden cubicles like that.
I do not remember that.
Of course you won't remember it, because probably by the time you were born, they'd been stripped out. Anyway, so meanwhile, Mr. What's his name? Is it Ollis? I know it isn't saying that, because he reminds me of Mr. Never mind. What's his name again?
Who?
The little sort of poacher bloke.
Sam Seeley.
Yes, yeah, so Sam Seeley goes and collects it. It's cooled down a bit now. This meteorite, in inverted commas. The doctor, meanwhile, has started to come round, and he's quite keen on getting hold of his shoes.
I must find my shoes.
The brigadier turns up at the hospital, and
master.
And they all know what unit is and who the brigadier is. It's supposed to be a secret organisation. I thought that was quite amusing. Yes.
Yeah. On the Blu-ray edition, is it? I suppose all the microphones showing up all over the place are even more visible because you're always seeing microphones. I mean, not just in the press briefing where they're supposed to be, but there's microphones poking in the hospital room.
Oh yeah, I remember. Yeah, we sort of talked about this last time, didn't we? If you look closely,
I don't know.
I think we did, Joe. You can see microphones.
Yeah, that was almost exactly 3 years ago, according to Ian.
Wikipedia.
No. That Ian Kirk pointed out that we had discussed this. 3 years ago.
Okay. Anyway, so
three years and two days.
Yeah, thank you. Brigadier and Liz and some other bloke turn up to because the brigadier's realised when he hears about the TARDIS in the woods and stuff like that, and a man found next to the TARDIS may indeed be the doctor he'd just been talking about to Liz, and they go along. Of course, he turns him over, doesn't recognise him, but the doctor recognises him. And we'd go for the famous scene of him looking in the mirror and initially not liking his new face and then suddenly liking it quite a lot. So he pretends to sort of be unconscious to enable them to... well, that's not quite yet, is it? No, sorry, there's a shot of one of a unit corporal who's very West Country accent chatting to Sam Seeley. Well, how much would one of these sort of things be worth? Have you seen one then? No, I didn't say that. Yeah, that sort of thing. Which is all a bit silly. You've gone all very quiet, which is quite amusing, but that's more or less what was said. The doctor finds his shoes, gets a key out of his shoes, and then manages to sort of semi be kidnapped and then getting away.
Yes, Channing comes to get him, doesn't he?
And then gets away in a sort of wheelchair, which of course we know that John Pertwee was quite keen on doing all his own stunts.
Yes.
And then he gets shot.
Yeah. And his eyes go a bit crossed when he was shot. Because that's what happens when you get your head grazed by a bullet.
When I find things amusing on my notes, I draw smiley faces, and there are an awful lot of smiley faces throughout these notes. Yeah. I must say.
Right. I can't find. Oh, there it is. Right, menu. Right, episode 2.
Is more unconscious than anyone I've written down.
More what?
The doctor is more unconscious than anyone Dr. Henderson has ever seen.
No. Jeff Waddell says it's the same booth in the Sunmakers. Eh? What's the same booth? The phone booth? Ooh, we'll find
that's
out.
What we were talking about.
Yeah, we were talking about the phone booth.
Ooh, that's interesting. Anyway, so the doctor isn't obviously dead. He's otherwise we wouldn't have much of a series.
He's getting better.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a graze mouth on the head.
Dead yet?
No blood or anything. And obviously they find the key that he had. I think the brigadier at some point takes possession of this key.
Yes.
And then we're in the factories. Sorry, plastics factory where there were loads of creepy dolls being made. And
oh yeah, that's a weird. Footage of those dolls' heads being made.
No, that wasn't nice. There's surprising number of people on the line making the dolls, and then they say later it's gone over to automation.
And there's nobody here. Yeah.
And then some chap turns up.
They filmed, though, those aren't stock footage. Mm. They actually went and filmed this about 2 or 3 days before the episode was recorded in the actual doll factory.
Oh, okay. Very colourful dolls, as we said. This chap's obviously come back and to find that things have changed a bit since he's been away.
Yeah, poor old Ransom.
Yeah, he's got a Zygon with him.
Yes.
And the Zygon's acting a bit strangely and keeps on holding the back of his neck when He's being controlled by, obviously controlled by Channing, as we find quite quickly. Meanwhile, Liz has got a lab set up. I don't quite understand all this chemistry that she's had. She's testing the coating of this meteorite.
Yeah, it looks good because they're focusing on the fact that this is now colour. Yeah. It's like the bit when a guy gets his head injury and there's blood everywhere. It's like the first time you would have seen that on Doctor Who or ever. So a lot of this was just for visual appreciation of the colours and what they've got.
Okay.
Now, how many color sets did people... were people starting to buy a whole lot of color sets in 1970?
They were really expensive when they first came out.
Yeah, they were really expensive. Yeah, more expensive than, say, a washing machine.
But they always are, aren't they? The new lines of TVs are always ridiculous. I mean, we've got an HD TV in the other room. When they first came out, there was about $1,500 to have an HD TV. We probably bought that one for about $400. We could probably buy the same set now for about $200.
Said that they held off the broadcast of the new series till January because they anticipated that a lot of people were going to get color TVs for Christmas.
Yes, also anticipated that with the World Cup coming up in 1970 in Mexico, and that was going to be the first World Cup shown in color, that people would be wanting color TVs.
Yeah, here in the States, we got our first color TV probably in 67 or 68. Mm. It was this massive thing.
I mean, we got ours in 1973. But I had seen colour TV before got ours, like, around other people's houses, you know. And ours was second hand. My granddad never bought anything brand new. But yeah, it was quite cool, colour TV.
Yeah, we had two TVs. We had a colour and a black and white. Mm. It was amazing.
Yeah,
we,
when I was at school, I had a black and white one in my bedroom. And we had the big colour one in the front room with a little sliding door that used to pull across the front of the screen.
Really?
They used to come in little cabinets.
Remember any TVs here being sold with sliding doors?
Remember that sort of thing? My goodness!
A lot of the TVs we had would have shutters that go in front of them.
Speaking of Zygons, Master. John Woodnut. He was in more than just Terror of the Zygons.
Not what?
Here we go.
He was in Frontier in Space as the Draconian Emperor.
He was indeed.
I have not seen that one yet, but I suppose we will soonish. And he was also in The Keeper of Trachin as Seron, which I haven't seen.
He's best known as a Zygon because he was really sinister and very good in Terror of the Zygons. Anyway, moving on.
Yes.
The Brigadier is... hang on, my thing's stuck. He's sort of flirting a bit with Liz as well as patronising her. But Liz is having nothing of it. Seeley, meanwhile, it's quite clever when he takes that, you know, the thing out of the box with it's glowing and stuff like that. It must have been quite a difficult thing to achieve in those days. And then can you imagine, right? So I had this weird thought when Mrs. Seeley turns up, can you imagine them in an intimate moment? Okay. What did you say, Debbie?
I said poor old Meg. Her name's Meg.
Oh, yeah. And their dog as well.
I know who's going to be winning the quiz today.
You say that every week, Kirby.
Yes, I do.
You do, yes.
Talking of Meg, I'm trying to talk about the dog who very much sounded like a bloke could go... Didn't sound like a dog at all. Strange. Scoby, General Scoby, very posh and pompous.
If you ever want to visit the that cottage, it is some place you can go and visit.
Is it?
It's called Wheelbarrow Castle Cottage. Ooh. It's in, I don't know if you say Worcestershire or Worcestershire or what.
It must be high up my list of priorities. Yes, it's Kirby, thank you very much. Can we move on? Right, yeah, so...
Worcestershire.
Shut up.
Worcestershire, yeah.
General Scoby has shown up to call the Brigadier Stuart, which was quite funny. I know that's his second
And to be sexist to Liz.
And then, of course, some doctor turns up who wants to have a look at the physiognomy of the doctor. Turns up his posh red car. The doctor, meanwhile, has escaped from his little room and finds some clothes and has a shower. And
that was quite odd.
Strange tattoo appeared. But then, of course, Matt Smith was naked later date, wasn't he? And so was, in fact, old Tenny got naked at some point. So the doctors do it. I can't really see Peter Capaldi doing that, but anyway, he did. That's the only episode he wore the hat in, but it did actually quite suit him.
Yes. Yeah. And the doctor has now managed to get clothes from hospitals 3 times. Mm-hmm. He should continue to do this.
Should he?
Well, he always seems to end up in a hospital, doesn't he? You know, it's...
Not always. Anyway, so yeah, the Autons themselves look really, really quite sinister, simply because the plastic sort of mask is all wonky and not quite on them properly.
Master?
Oh, God.
Do you know why they're all wearing the scarf?
Because there was not a very good join between the mask and the rest
Correct.
Of them.
Correct, good.
Yeah. That's difficult to work out, isn't it?
I think we can all guess that.
For a bat.
Anyway, moving on. So the doctor, meanwhile, nicks the chief surgeon, or whoever he was, his car. Hence, obviously, it's a car very similar to Bessie's, although slightly bigger.
It's a lot bigger. lot bigger.
The Brigadier, meanwhile, tries to get into the TARDIS with the key that he's acquired from the doctor. Of course, he can't get in. Liz is still going on with don't talk such nonsense. Nobody goes to other planets. sort of thing, which is rather irritating, even by this part of the story. And then, of course, a certain soldier, which we've seen, has a bit of an accident, some tomato ketchup all over the windscreen, and the Autons nick back the sort of glowing, eggy thingy. And there's another scene for Derek Sherwin, which him and the Doctor have a bit of a Barney. But the Doctor just basically walks straight into the lab, and sees the TARDIS, can't get hold of the key. Then he goes on about a few little facial gags in regards to speaking in other languages using his eyebrows. Again, another thing that Peter Capaldi could have actually done, couldn't he, Debbie?
He could have. Yeah.
Could have done a sort of throwback and done a bit of that eyebrow.
Yeah, exactly. Look at the eyebrows. My goodness. I can now speak da-da-da and introduce...
Ooh, yeah, I thought you were actually going to come up with the correct planet then, because Kirby reckons you're going to win the quiz.
Does he?
Hmm. And then he starts flirting with Liz. So he quite quickly decides he's going to investigate what this plasticky thing is. Meanwhile, there's another scene in the factory where... Who is this bloke?
The planet Delphine.
Thank you for that, Kirby. This chap... Pardon? Shut up. Where's this dinger? Shut up. This bloke who... You know, he's in the room with the Autons, and he turns around and sees walking towards him, and his face goes all funny. And then when they catch him a bit later, his sort of whole face goes all wobbly, and he's all sort of shaking. It's really quite amusing, isn't it, Debbie?
Yeah.
So yeah, he will report his what he's seen of the Autons to Unit. He nearly gets shot, actually. Obviously, this is the first time we see the little Auton hand flip down with a gun in it.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's great.
I love those. Yeah. And I like this version of the Auton gun better than the one that turned up in the new series.
Yes, you would do. So
it just looks... It looks more sinister.
And the funny thing watching this in Blu-ray is that...
One seems to have at least 2 settings, because they have to be told, you know, total destruction.
Yeah, Just that reminded me of the Quarks, the total destruction thing. Total destruction. Yes, it does, Kirby. Watch Dominators, and you'll see that weirdo bloke saying, destroy! Or no, Quarks destroy.
Yes, of course he says that. But yeah. No, it's not the same at all.
Yes, it is. Shut your face. Right then. It's not the same special effect, obviously. So Scobie turns up at the factory because he thinks he's having something made from Madame Tussauds, like a version of him. Of course, so it turns out it's not made of wax anymore, made out of plastic. He goes a bit funny, doesn't he? Oh, did he get shot or something? I don't know. Mrs. Seeley is very suspicious of her husband's activities. And I was saying about that bloke, when they do catch him, he goes all weird and it starts drooling and stuff like that. That makes me laugh, so you shouldn't do it, but it does. Nobody else thought it funny then. I thought it was. Let's see if anybody on the live feed thought it was funny. Jeff Warnell says, I'm your automatic lover, but don't tell anyone. And then Jeff Ward also says, General Scobie has a face like Joby. Moving on. So the Doctor manipulates Liz into trying to get his key back, and they sort of listen to the story from that chat from the factory. The Doctor tries to get away, but lots of smoke and that for comedy effect come out of the TARDIS, plus a few comedy sound effects as well.
Yes.
And Mrs. Seedy opens up the box and is shocked to find a glowing plasticky thing. And of course, they kill the bloke. They cut the sort of tent open and kill. This is the Autons kill him, and total destruction, like you say, with all their smoke sort of disappears, isn't it? It's quite a clever effect for the time, I think. And then an Auton tones up, don't think they actually killed her, did they?
No, they knocked her out.
Yeah.
She's quite brave, though, when she faces it.
Yeah, she is. I mean, she stands her ground and loads that rifle, you know.
You saw me loaded.
Did she actually have a dog, or was there just a bloke in her shed?
It was a man barking.
Yes. Also noticed they had a little piano in their room, which was probably...
Yeah, she's like, every house, quiet.
Every house in the 60s would have had a piano in it, I think. Ours did. Well, most of middle class, I say, would have had a piano in it. Would you have a piano in your house, Debbie?
I would if I had enough room.
No,
yeah.
Did you, when you were younger?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, so the Doctor finds the glowing thing.
Yes, we did too.
Hey?
We had a piano in our house.
Okay. The Doctor, thank you for that, Kirby.
You didn't ask me.
Well, you're American.
Awesome.
The Doctor manages to get his hands on the little glowy thing and attaches some devices to it when they get it back to the lab. And fake Scobie arrives at Scobie's house. And you can tell it's a fake Scobie because he's a bit shiny. He's been polished.
Yeah, there's a bit later on where he's only got makeup around the eyes. The rest of his face is normal. It's a bit odd.
Back to the feed. Anne-Marie's talking. Shush. Anne-Marie Blackall said, my grandparents had a piano. See, it's a good theme I've picked up on this. We haven't got a piano anymore. Although we did have. I think Margie Jane's got the piano now. Yes, Kirby. Is it going to be
the scene where Scobie meets Scobie. Mm. That's the lobby of the hotel that the crew was staying in.
Oh, thank you for that.
It was the Mansion House Hotel.
Thank you, Kirby.
And I do want to comment that now all this heat wave making everybody sweaty, everybody looks like an Auton.
Yeah.
Everybody's shiny. I was having a hard time determining who was an Auton and who wasn't.
Sorry.
It's sweaty.
Anyway, they then cut to a shot of some sort of dummies sort of stood in and posing, which aren't very good. You can tell who they are, can't you? There's Kennedy and Nixon, and looks like George Washington, who's got angel wings sticking out of the back of him because of the bad camera angle.
That's really Madame Tussauds there.
Yeah, that's really Madame Tussauds.
But they weren't very good facsimiles. If you go to Madame Tussauds now, they're actually quite accurate.
Maybe these were the rejects. I don't know.
I know. The thing is, also, Wookiee Hole, there's another place you used to see the rejects and Madame Tussauds, actually. When I was quite young, it used to be like their storage unit was in Wookiee Hole. That went right over your head, didn't it? Jeff Wardle says, the 20 megabyte, we had a piano in our house in the 70s podcast.
Yes. this exhibit of famous civil servants, which is really, really, really a silly idea for an exhibit.
Oh, why not?
But it's amazing how they all wobble back and forth.
Okay, thank you for that, Kirby. Anyway, so the Doctor and Liz are having a wander around. It's not Madame Tussauds, is it? It's a wax museum. Well, it's now a plastics museum. It's
supposed to be Madame Tussauds.
It is Madame Tussauds.
Yes.
So
really?
Not only is it supposed to be, it actually is.
It actually is, yes.
They actually hide until the place is shut so they can sneak around at night. And
Master?
Yes.
What's...
I don't care. Anyway,
Carolyn John was... actually creeped out because they were filming at night and the place creeped her out with all the wax figures. So it really helped with some of her
acting
reactions during filming.
Oh, good. Well, that's all right. Anyway, the doctor manages to corner the Zygon bloke. And convince him in a way just long enough so as they could get away with it that he was being controlled by Channing.
John would not.
Did he? I didn't know. somewhere along the line, that they managed to get the little sort of glowy thing back and deliver it to the nesting, whatever it is. And then we see that really iconic scene of the dummies coming to life in the high street. Now, I think I'll find most interesting about that particular scene is all the shops. You know, where the camera pans around, and it's really quiet anyway. And you've got some really interesting shops around, like Lily and Skinner, and you can see a Curry's there as well. And some of the, if you look in the window of some of the shops, some of the sort of merchandising materials in the shop are really quite interesting. That's probably because I work in retail, and Debbie will probably find it as well quite interesting.
I, as of about 10 years or so ago, that street looked pretty much exactly the same. Yeah. I wonder what it looks like now.
I wonder too, but I'm not bothered because I'm just interested in what it looked like then. You know, all these rich
and you know when they went back and did 30 years in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
They also filmed on that street.
Oh, good. I'm just saying
that. And it was. I also thought it was great that you never see windows breaking, but you hear the sound effect.
Would have cost them a fortune to actually break the shop windows, wouldn't it?
They did it for Rose.
Well, they were BBC windows they put in
specially. I was going to say they had a bigger budget then.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just like things like the Thai food on the bus, and there's what's that shop there? Some of the dummies look a bit like Barry Norman, who used to present the film program on TV as well. It's just really, really interesting. I sort of get a bit lost in the story when I'm looking all the. There's a Tesco's there, Debbie.
It was a Tesco.
Yeah. If you just look at every single frame of this sequence, there's some really fascinating shops. Oh, there's an M&Co.
Welcome to the 20 megabyte retail shops podcast.
Yeah, I really was hoping to see a Marks and Spencer because they would have been Marks and Spencer. I mean, when I was in Newcastle, we were in this little market, an indoor market, which had one of the original Marks and Spencer stalls in it.
You went to see X and Spencer.
Kirby, shut up.
It was and Spencer, you couldn't see the MA.
Shut up.
In the picture, remember?
Shut up.
Oh, yeah. Rooks and Spencer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that picture.
Anyway, so back to the story. Sorry, I've only got slightly sidetracked then. Yeah, so the dummies come out and shoot people and, you know, apparently all around the country.
I like the poor bus queue that buy it. That's quite funny.
Yes.
I thought some of the somersaults some of the people were doing. I wonder if any of them were Derek Martin, of course. Derek Martin was somebody I met at the convention.
Now, smoke that they used was quite toxic.
Apologies to Derek Martin if you happen to be interested. That Kirby completely glossed over the mention of Derek Martin, who used to be in EastEnders, that Mary would have known very well from EastEnders as Charlie Slater, who was another very nice chap who I had a chat with. Uh-huh. I believe he's 85 years old, Mary. 85.
When he died?
What? Not dead. I met him at the convention. His character's dead. Charlie Slater's dead. Derek Martin, who plays him, isn't.
For some reason, I thought you said he died. He died?
No, because Kirby keeps interrupting me. I'm trying to explain.
That's what I'm paid for.
He was. I went to a talk. He was talking about. Shut up. I did actually record this talk because there was no Doctor Who references. It was just talk of him talking about his early life and his career and stuff like up to Doctor Who. Because there was another one the next day which I didn't go to, where he actually talked about his behind the scenes work and acting work on Doctor Who. Because obviously he was a stuntman with Havoc before he did that brilliant story called
Cry Havoc,
Image of the Fendal, in which he played the guard with the dog and said that immortal line that I love so much, I'll set the dog on you. Very nice chap though. 85 years old, you wouldn't believe it. So back to Doctor. Yeah, so they've decided now that they don't need John Woodnut anymore. But John Woodnut fights back a little bit and starts hitting things, and then he gets totally destroyed. Rather unfortunately.
That plastic bag in the box is obscene looking.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not nice, is it?
I hadn't really considered that. Have you noticed that Doctor Who, a lot of the CCTV in Doctor Who is sort of the, with round screens at the, in this sort of period. We had that in the previous story, War Games, in which there was a sort of unit in which... I wonder if it's actually where it's a round screen, whether it's one of the ones borrowed from War Games. It would only have been a few months after this one, that this one was done after War Games. Well, you know what I mean. The Doctor, meanwhile, has invented some sort of gadget which sort of disables living plastic. And when he knocks out the fake Scobie, the real Scobie comes back to life. Or comes...
He wakes up in the...
Which scares some people. In the Waxworks Museum. The Doctor then has a little bit of conversation with Channing, and then there's that scene in which Liz is supposed to switch the machine on, doesn't quite switch on properly, and some tentacles wrap themselves around
Channing ups
his face is very good.
That's so funny.
And of course, but when he does, when she does eventually switch the machine on, it sort of turns all the autons and nesting.
Why did the 2005 nesting consciousness not have tentacles?
Yeah, that was what I thought.
Probably because that Russell T. Davis probably thought that it was a bit silly. Perhaps, I don't know.
And it was pretty silly.
Either way, they win, and the Doctor gets hired as unit's scientific expert, I suppose. So there you go, that's the Spearhead from Space story. I'll tell you what I think of it. I don't really listen to my previous opinions in this story, but I did thoroughly enjoy watching it for several reasons. One, it's quite a fun story. Two, in HD, it does really look like it was filmed yesterday. Some silly bits in there, but I see the silly bits as light-hearted banter, really. It's a Robert Holmes story. It's got to be quite good. I think they could have done, it's slightly better. Say that we'd never had Spearhead from Space, and they actually introduced Christopher Eccleston with that story, and had a budget that story had. I think this still would have been a really, really good tale. I didn't used to like it, but every time I watch it, I like it more and more. I think it's a really, really fun story. So it worries me a little bit that I didn't used to like it, because I'm thinking anybody's watched
it. How could you not like it?
Quiet. Anybody who watched this for the first time might have had the same opinion as me. Oh, this is bit naff, but I find it fascinating. Each frame is a photograph to me of 1969, when of course it was filmed there, and all these there's some actors in there who had like big parts. There was a blonde actor who came back in Doctor Who later on to play a more sort of main role in that. I can't remember who it was, but that's quite interesting. And also, of course, even the janitor bloke, I think he was back in Green Death, playing a slightly more serious role. But all in all, I really enjoyed it. I'm not keen on series one of John Pertwee in total, so we'll come back to that as we go through it. I might like it this time. We'll watch it. No, we're watching them in order. But this one's actually quite good fun. I like John Pertwee. I'm looking forward to the next... essentially 5 years of John Pertwee now we're there. So what did you think then, Mrs. Melrose?
Well, having not properly watched this, I found it, obviously, because it's now in colour, new Doctor, new era, everything. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that aspect, but I felt I was missing how involved, especially the War Games, how involved that was. Doctor Who was a lot more about the talking and the interaction rather than the visuals, but obviously they're enjoying the fact they're now in colour and everything is there to be seen, and the drama of it all can now be played out visually rather than so much so with talking. So I was trying to sort of separate out the Doctor from his previous incarnation and how involved I'd got with the Second Doctor and loved him so much. But I found this story, even though it's quite short, I found that I really was enjoying it. I watched one and then left it a few days and think about it. I found I was thinking about it a lot, wondering what was going to happen next, and that's always a sign of a good story.
And you call it short. I would call it reasonable length.
It felt short. I don't know.
Yeah, if because long was coming up.
Yeah, hey, enough of that, please.
The War Games. Yeah, it would feel short.
It did, yeah. I think that's what it was, that it didn't preoccupy, you know, almost every night as the last story did. And, yeah, we had 2 weeks to watch it in, so I was quite leisurely about it. And I found that I was thinking about it and wondering about it. I was trying to persuade Tom to watch it with me several times. It's like, come on, I think you'd enjoy this one. You know, just come on, you'll recognise the...
So what is Tom, what would Tom be interested in watching with you?
He's getting into Big Finish, actually.
That's not watching, though, is it?
Yeah, they've recently replayed it on Radio 4. There was a Big Finish that they had on that they broadcast, and they've just redone it. And Tom caught it, and he got sucked in. So he's now exploring Big Finish universe, which is terrific.
Do you guys get Spotify?
Yes,
because there's a lot of Big Finish free on Spotify.
Yes, no, exactly.
Okay, so, okay.
Yeah, no, I'm quite excited that he's gone. Yeah, I really like, because he loves his audio books and audio stories. So, yeah, this is the way he can embrace the extended universe, definitely. So I'm very thrilled about that. But all in all, I thought this was a really good intro for John Pertwee. And obviously, he's completely different to Patrick Troughton and William Hartnell. And I've seen quite a few of his stories, so yeah, and I feel much more familiar. This is a doctor that I remember better, although I'm still very hooked on Patrick Troughton, because I'd never seen any of his, and I am mourning his loss, but I'm also really looking forward to seeing what John Pertwee can do, because I was a big fan of his Wurzel Gummidge and things like that, so this is going to be great.
So how much of Pertwee have you seen?
I've seen a few stories, definitely Silurians, and oh my god, I can't remember the names of them off by heart like you guys.
What sort of Doctor Who fan are you?
Just a Doctor Who fan that can't remember the titles of things.
So a spotty collection of, but never collection. never in order.
Never in order. No.
Well, I'm basically the same way. This, I'm really looking forward to seeing these in order, and I've not seen them all at all.
Well, that's what we're doing, Kirby.
Yeah, this is it. I thought this was a good intro, and I'd be interested to see where it goes. And I laughed quite a lot, which is, considering the seriousness of the last couple of stories, it's been almost a relief to just sit and giggle a bit, especially at John Pertwee's face. He's brilliant in a completely different way, so I'm really looking forward to this journey.
Yes. Ian Kirk says Adam looks like he has square eyes. Might be because of the reflection of the computer in my glasses, perhaps. Anyway. Now, you mentioned Big Finish. Now, I mentioned Big Finish earlier on, and Mary mm-hmm. didn't speak. Bear in mind, I was with five of the team, including Rob Shearman, and the very beautiful, I really liked her, Emily. She was really nice. But I did actually get this bag here. See that? And I haven't actually looked in it since I came back from Newcastle. They popped some goodies in it for me. This is
Torchwood series.
Yeah,
it's a good series.
It's a little magazine that's got some bits and bobs in it. What else have I got here? I've got this. This is a little box of what I've got left of my
people love
cards.
War Doctor sets that are coming out, yeah.
Yeah, see the box of calling cards, which I've got. Oh, these are the things I've got. This is what I got free with my gold ticket. It's an original piece of art, which is also on my T-shirt. I might keep that one. And this is a signed picture of the Weeping Angel in question. I can't actually see what it says.
Those look like Cybermen to me.
That's Weeping Angel, dear. Oh, these are Cybermen.
Oh, there's a way.
There's
okay.
Cybermen. That's Weeping Angel, yeah. Also, we've got in here, which might interest you a bit more, Mary.
I'm waiting for the visual to catch up. For some reason, I've got the word.
Yeah, see, what we hear you say is not...
Kirby, that's obvious. Shut up. Was this... Because I wanted to... I wanted to get a Big Finish badge, basically, for me coat. Did you see my Big Finish badge? No?
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted a Big Finish badge. And I said to them, how'd you get this Big Finish badge? And they said, well, you have to buy something. What should I buy? I got this.
Yeah, it's which one did you get?
The Labyrinth of Buda Castle. Yes? So John, I saw John Pertwee on about. He's not
no,
the
no,
audience.
No, Tom
it's
Baker.
A Tom Baker
yeah.
story.
See? Oh yeah, oh, with the Lala Ward, yeah. It, that's so, a that's from a series of five that they did together.
For some reason, the lettering on there is all backwards.
Can running I borrow
out
the,
of
you
patience? Well, it's still in its wrapper, Deb, so you're not going to get to borrow it until it's out of its wrapper. So it might be some time.
After you've
I've got another one here somewhere. Tom Baker story.
Tom Baker has put out several series of stories. Most of them have been with Leela.
Leela? Friend of the show, one, Louise Jameson, you mean?
Well, Louise Jameson, yeah. but this series of five, or maybe it's six, are with Lala Ward, and they're very good.
Yeah. Sorry, we did this sort of rather sidetracked then. What did you think of this one then, Kirby?
I absolutely love this
okay,
story.
Okay, then. What do you think of it? Oh, go on.
I don't understand how one can watch this one even the first time and not love it. It is a great introduction to Pertwee. Unfortunately, with some of the other Pertwees that I've seen, I don't
Sean
particularly
Pertwee?
Like
what's the other Pertwee?
I don't particularly
the
like
the one that was in Dad's Army, that Pertwee? Bill Pertwee, wasn't it?
No? The some stories are a bit lengthy and boring, but this one just goes in and hits the ground running, and I love how many stories after this reference back to this one. For instance, both of the other stories where the doctor's in a hospital for regeneration, those are deliberate references to this, obviously. Mm. And I love the Autons. I wish that they would do more with them.
Mm. With their marvelous cravats.
See, and that's one thing.
Stylish.
I am looking forward to Terror of the Autons because I have not seen it.
Okay, then. So, well, that's good. You will get to see it if you can be bothered to watch it when we come around to watching it, because I know a couple of the stories you haven't watched because you weren't on the show.
And fortunately, since these stories are all so darn lengthy, we only have a few episodes before we'll get to things like Terror of the Autons. I believe it's only like five stories away.
Yes, that's right, Kirby. Right there. Have you done?
Aww.
I'm just asking, have you finished?
Affirmative, master.
Okay. Mary, hang on. Sorry. I must do this.
Yeah, get ready.
Yeah, got to get ready because this is the first John Pertwee story. It's Mary's opinion.
I'm kind of on the fence with this story. In response to Kirby's comment about, you know, how other stories have been so long and so boring, and this one seems so much more modern, I read where the audiences of the time did not take well to this first, this new doctor and new way of doing things, because they were used to there being more character development and week by week getting more involved in a story, whereas this story seems to keep everybody kind of at arm's length. Nobody really evolves in the story. There's not a lot of development. We don't even really get to know who this doctor is very much, because we're, you know, he's always either, you know, mugging at the camera or he's running around, and so people were a little put off by this new doctor. What I thought was interesting is that this is really like a nice introduction to the 1970s with the jazzy spy music that sounded like it came right out of the who am I thinking of? Who's the famous spy? James Bond. You know, it's out of a James Bond movie. I felt, ooh, yeah, this is very modern all along. And for me, this seemed more like a Troughton story because Pertwee, for a good deal of the story, was acting a lot like Troughton.
I think the
mugging and running around and all that. And he seemed to change little by little, so that by the end...
Well, remember, this is a Derek Sherwin story, Mary, so they probably did write it for him in a way.
Yeah, it seems like it was written more for Troughton. But then Pertwee, you kind of get used to Pertwee being a little bit more of himself by the end, so... You know, and I know we're plunging into an era that is really not my favorite. I have not seen very many Pertwee stories because I just don't find them, you know, that interesting. But, you know, we'll see. Since we're doing this in order, I feel like we're making that transition, you know, from one doctor into another. And so I'm curious to see my own reactions as we go along, if they change from, you know, when we have, like, dipped in and dipped out. Yeah, like I said, I haven't seen very many Pertwee stories because I don't have a lot of interest in them. So we'll see if that changes. A couple of observations. Mm-hmm. I thought it was rather funny that Ransom, he breaks into the factory. Now, this is supposed to be highly secure factory. He breaks the outer door with like a wooden plank that he throws away. And I thought, oh, that was easy to get into. And then when he gets to like the really top secret room, he gets into it just using like a long metal rod. He just kind of rams it with the rod and the door opens. I thought, well, they're not very careful about this. And another observation is Liz, when the doctor comes up with that little machine that he's going to counter the vibration of the autons, he leaves Liz hauling that heavy thing around while he's carrying this little microphone.
Well, that's the sort of thing the doctor does.
Yeah, I know.
All of the doctors have done that.
It's very funny. In an era when women are still, you know, kind of looked upon as being a little more fragile sex, you know, to have her hauling that around, I thought was very funny. And one last thing is another thing that struck me is we're watching another mind control story. I mean, the War Games was all about the leaders staring at people and saying, you will do this or you will think this. And we have that again in this story. Mm. It's like, well, we haven't come up with anything new yet, have we?
Don't worry. So, new things will appear in due course.
Yep.
And a better version of the Autons as well. Yes, Kirby?
Speaking of that little gadget that disrupts the autons, I kept expecting a doctor to say, this is my machine that goes bing!
Well, there you go. Anyway, Jeff Waddle says, that's his most recent one. He said, Master is wanting to keep the original Cyberman picture, and that's the thing I want, because he knows they are my favourite. And it's interesting that reminded me, because I not only did I have the one I showed you, if you're watching the Facebook feed, I also had this tube. They sent this tube. See, the tube had this. It was number 21, which was my golden ticket number. And in this tube, which is some freebies, was this thing here, which is wrapped in some sort of plastic thing, certificate of authenticity. It says 10th Planet Artist Carolyn Edwards. Print size A3, it's a print, limited edition number 21 of 60, and release date 7th of the 10th, 16. Now, so the one I originally showed you, the little one, I think is original drawing, and then there's this print, another thing just hit the floor, which is the sort of print version of the artwork, which I have a t-shirt as well, as that one, it's rather cool. And I'll be quite happy for Jeff to have that
one.
That's
nice.
Yeah.
I'll keep the original one. But Jeff can have the print.
I can actually see you.
That's really good.
I've lost the original. I had it here just a minute ago. I must have put it. Oh, it's in here. It's my little big finish bag. I'm pretty sure this is original. Let's have a look. It looks like original. It might be a print again. I don't know. Well, I don't know what's going on there. I'll probably keep the smaller one. That's just a larger one. So he's welcome to have that one, if he so wishes. God knows how I'm going to get it to him. Probably have to send it to him. Cost me a fortune. But what also I've got, we had an auction. I forgot to mention about this auction. It was quite good fun. About an hour and a half in which they were basically auctioning off various autographed items by Doctor Who celebrities. I tried to get some Tom Baker things. I think it's very unlikely I'm going to get to meet Tom Baker. So to have a signed picture of him would have been quite cool, even if it's not gained by myself. So I tried to win that. I think they went for about 40 quid in the end. I thought, well, I'm not going to spend 40 quid this stage of the weekend when I might want to spend it on something else. But I did bid for something to start the thing going. It was this. No, it wasn't. That's a bloody Cyberman thing. It was this. Which is a artwork. I don't know who did the artwork, actually. It was a very good piece of art of Deborah Watling with some Daleks, signed by Deborah Watling. See, it's quite good. Probably a genuine Deborah Watling signature. Rather cool. I started the bidding at a fiver, and nobody else pushed it up, so I got it for a fiver. But I thought, that's all right for a fiver.
That's quite amazing. Cool,
but I'd like to actually meet Deborah Watling myself and to get actually a picture with her rather than have a signed doodah. So I don't know what
you need to do.
Don't
is quite go, keep know what going I'm going to do with that.
Well, she was supposed to be there, wasn't she?
She was originally, and also Annika Wills was supposed to be there. That's who I really, really wanted to meet. But I did meet some other people which are really fab, especially Sarah Sutting. She was such a charmer. And that young bird out there, she was gorgeous. Sarah Madison, who nobody wanted to speak to. She was unrecognisable as a weeping angel.
The weeping angel, yeah.
But she's so beautiful. Yeah. She's tall as well. And I nearly had an interview with her, but they actually found something for her to do just at the wrong time for me. But, yeah, she was lovely. They're all quite lovely, actually. So that's why I'd like to do it again, but I know that it's very unlikely I'm going to be allowed to do it again, unless crowdfunding can allow me...
Put your foot down.
Don't be absurd. I'm going to the Doctor Who... what's that place in Cardiff called? Doctor Experience? Going there in next week, in fact, with Deb and Isabella.
Awesome. Have you been there?
I've been to the one when it was in London.
Yeah.
But I've not been to it since it's been in Cardiff. So we're going there to see it. And also, obviously, going to Cardiff, go to Penarth, and then when we're in Penarth, we'll see, once again, the street where the Dalek shoots the Doctor, as in the 10th Doctor. I've been down that street before.
I think Jeff Waddle is giving you his address to send the picture to.
Oh, Jeff! You could have personally sent me that rather than blurting it out on the Facebook feed.
He also said, I've
baked a pizza in time for Mary, in the time Mary has discussed. Mary's a lot quicker than Kirby. Ashley Hughes says, I've been there and got the shirt. I think he's talking about Cardiff, not the Doctor Experience. He is Welsh. I'm not really surprising.
I hope you take more pictures than...
Pardon the share? I realise that you're the oldest person to have... you're the oldest female singer to actually have a number one single in Great Britain.
Master?
Yes?
Master? I hope you take more pictures in Cardiff than you took in at the convention.
I took a few pictures. I was too busy having my picture taken for a change. Look at my pictures. See, there's me and Colin Baker and the little woolly sixie. There's the group picture of everybody with me, with everybody. These are on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook page. There's me with little Jimmy V, nice little chap he is. There's me with Fraser. There's me with Derek Martin. There's me on and the Saturday crew. And there's that lovely Sarah Madison. She's gorgeous, isn't she? There's me with Lee John. That was really cool. Nice chap. And Lee John. Me with Richard Franklin, Captain Nate, who we'll meet in a few stories' time. He won't be in it just yet. And there's the Earth Shock picture. That's cracking, isn't it? Me with Sarah Madison. She was really nice looking.
I actually had
my hand round her when that picture was taken. That was really nice. There's me and Peter Purvis. What a legend he is. Yes, Kirby, while I'm going through these pictures.
I turned off the video feed because I was
eating
my bandwidth.
It's not for you, it's for the viewers, all seven of them. We've got more today than we normally have. There's me with the lovely Sarah Sutton. Look how pleased she seems to have me holding out there. And there's me with the very nice Matthew Waterhouse. Very nice chap. Didn't want to interview, but very nice chap. There's a cracking photo of me with Captain Yates and Sergeant Benton. And... there's me with
Benton.
I said that to him as I went up, so I went, Benton. He didn't actually hear it, to be fair. he was too busy talking. There's me with the doctors. That was really funny, because every time you had your picture taken with Sylvester, he'd be serious, and then he'd do, and of course that made everyone laugh. And the funny one, I'll tell you about it in a minute, that's me with Claire Clifford, another nice lady, quite a well-known actress now, wasn't she? What's her name again? Debbie. Yes, she is.
Is she?
That's
I can't see pictures for some reason.
Well, never mind. You'll see him when you come around next. There's me with Sylv. Making me laugh again. Now this... oh, there's the lovely Sharon Deuce. Yeah, that's better, really. There is one missing. There was one with me with with just Colin, but that seems ridiculous.
If we're going to have a quiz, we need to get on with it, because I believe Mary has to leave in 20 minutes.
Oh, there's me. That Colin picture, I'll tell you about that in a minute.
Am I correct?
Yes, you are. Can I just tell you about this Colin picture quickly? God's sake. Right, I went up there and...
it's hopeless, Kirby.
He
it's
looked
hopeless.
At my T-shirt and said, I don't suppose you're expecting to have an interview, are you? I said, yes. No. That's why we're laughing in that picture. Well, there you go. That's the pictures. Right, so, feedback. Feedback? Shut up! Have we got time for feedback, Mary? Mary?
Yeah, I have to be out of here in like 30 minutes or...
Maybe we should do the quiz first.
We'll have to do the quiz first then. Sorry, feedback suppliers. And by the way, Anne-Marie Blackall says, nice pictures. And then says, love that doll. When she says the doll, she must be talking about me. Not this.
Of course she is.
It's a woolly facsimile. Okay, apparently it's now time for this week's edition. Oh, you won't get this one. My bell's gone AWOL. Unless it's a bad nicked it. Where's my bell gone? That's a nuisance. Oh well, I have to go back to the old method. Okay, hang on, I've got my questions. Hang on, bear with. You've rather thrown this upon me. I haven't really prepared myself because I was expecting to do. Oh dear. Feedback first. Pardon me.
Getting feedback anyway.
A big bun.
I was just commenting on your burp.
Flatulence?
And yes.
It's not. I don't want to be burping. Hiccuping. Deliberate. Anyway, right. Okay. So, Mary, who do you think is going to win?
Debbie.
There's a surprise. But did that decision not lead you to winning last week, or was that Andy won? I can't remember now. Kirby, who do you think is going to win?
Debbie.
Pattern developing here. Debbie, who do you think is going to win?
Kirby.
And I think that I am going to win. No, I'm not actually. I don't think I'm probably not actually looking at these questions, but.
A lot of the time
I attempt to try not to win, but these people are so daft that they can't even answer the questions. That leads to things that I don't plan. Right, okay, the first question goes... Be quiet. The first question goes to Mary. Poison my mouse over the appropriate sound effect. What colour tie do unit workers wear?
Oh, my Lord. Brown.
Point to me. Anybody?
Is it red?
Another point to me. No, the answer was green. Next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
Where did the meteors come down?
Oxley Woods. Doker.
Point to me. Anybody else? Don't very quiet.
Oh, I know now. Darn.
Okay, too long. The answer to the question made that it was Sector 5 Epping was the answer to that question. I should have played me Joker. Okay, Debbie.
Yeah.
How does Liz envisage aliens?
Oh, I know. Liz envisage aliens.
Hmm.
I know. Little blue men with three heads.
Yeah,
I love the way she pretends she doesn't know the answer.
Yeah.
I haven't highlighted anything in my notes.
It's me all hopeful here.
Yeah. Mary.
Yeah.
Where is the Institute of Space Studies?
Where is it? Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Oh, okay. Then we'll do that. And then we'll go Kirby.
Baltimore.
Yeah, well, there you go. Right, Kirby.
Master.
Who calls Dr. Henderson and moans about the blood sample not being human?
No, I know.
Oh, that's good, yeah. Because I don't.
Oh, good. That's another point to me, then. Who said I know?
Mary.
Mary.
Did.
Mary.
Mary did.
Go on, Mary.
Dr. Lomax.
Yes.
Sorry, Mary, but it's going to have to be a... whose question was that? It was Kirby's originally, wasn't it? Debbie.
Yeah, that was good.
Yes.
Who phoned the newspaper?
Mullins the porter.
Okay.
Oh, damn, Joker.
Too late.
And don't give me another hard one.
No, you're doing that deliberately now. Well, next question goes to... should we have a score update? No, we'll have a score update. Okay, in last place, joined last place, in fact, with 1 point each, Mary and Kirby. In second place with 4 points, it's Debbie. And the lead with 6 points, it's me.
Not fair.
This next question goes to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the doctor get treated? So basically, what's the name of the hospital?
I know.
Oh, I know, I wrote that down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that should have been an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, I can't find it, so I'll hand it on.
Go on then, Debbie.
Ashbridge Cottage Hospital, Eppington.
Yep.
Very smart ERC answer. That is it. Yes, it's correct.
Oh, see, I did it all in abbreviations. That's why I couldn't find it.
Kirby.
Master.
What was the third doctor's first word?
Since I'm not quite sure, I'm not going to Joker, but I'm going to say shoes.
Oh! Yeah, we could have Joker happened, yeah.
All right, Debbie.
Yes?
What does Dr. Henderson ask the nurse to fetch her after the doctor grabs his shoes?
I know.
Very quiet.
No, I don't know.
Oh, excellent. Should have played me Joker on that one. Oh, no, because Kirby knows the answer.
Yes, and Mary should know this. It's a sphig, as in a sphygmomanometer.
You didn't even say that right.
I'm not a medical.
You notice when Kirby gets something wrong, he's always got some sort of excuse. Reese, you've got so many lawsuits coming your way, or the other way around. All right, who was that question originally for? I can't remember.
Me.
All right. Therefore, Mary.
Did I get it?
Yes.
Even Mary. Even I mispronounced the long version of it. Sorry. Yeah. Right.
Mary.
Yes.
What was Private Hawkins assigned to?
Hawkins.
Her page is flicking sound.
Don't know.
Okay, another point for me. Anybody?
Don't know.
I think he was assigned to guard the TARDIS.
Do you know? Nope, he was assigned to take the meteorite fragment to the Brigadier's,
Oh, my gosh.
Whatever. Right, next question, therefore, goes to Kirby, I believe. Ouch.
Master.
What music was played to the staff in the plastic factory?
Huh?
I'm going to play my Joker on this one. What music was played to the staff at the plastic factory? Joker for me.
I have no idea.
Okay, so that's a... 2 points for me because it's a joker. Anybody else?
No.
Good. What a great joker to play that was. Another that's 2 points fair. To me. The answer was Oh Well by Fleetwood Mac.
Well, you would know that.
Right, the next question goes to Debbie.
Yep.
What is the name of the factory manager that John Ransom visits?
George Hibbert. Oh, bloody hell, Joker.
It's like having Andy on the show.
We're so happy to have the answer, you know, we jump right in.
All right, score update. Last place.
Shifts my my prediction over to Master rather than Debbie from now on.
Too late. Sorry.
Well, I'm sorry, you were saying all along Debbie's going to win the quiz, so you really are stuck with that. We've still got four. I went down.
Well,
five
I still don't
four.
Consider your scorekeeping thing where you get points to be.
Shut up. Right.
Your master, therefore you can do
that. Question
anything.
Goes to Mary. Oh, didn't do the scores. Yeah, Mary in last place.
No, you didn't
one.
Do the scores.
Well, shut up interrupting. Last place, Mary with one. In third place, Kirby with four. In second place, Debbie with seven, and me in the lead with 14. Right, Mary's question. Liz deals with facts, not what?
I know.
Deals with
facts.
Facts, not. I did write that one down, and of course I can't find it. All right, let's say fiction.
No. Go on then, Debbie.
Not science fiction ideas.
Correct. Sorry, the science part of that question was quite important. All right, and Kirby.
Who? Me?
Well, you're Kirby, are you not?
Well, sometimes I only hear the E part of a name, Master.
Oh, yeah, all right. What was the name of Sam Seeley's wife?
I know.
Oh, that was easy.
It's obviously, I will joker this one, Meg Seeley.
Hooray.
Yay.
Debbie.
Yes.
What did the plaque on the door read where the doctor went to have a shower?
Oh, darn.
No, I don't think it said that. I actually don't know.
How did it say that? Excellent. Go on in, Kirby.
I don't know it.
Oh, I thought you said... Right, anybody know it, then?
No, I was going...
Like doctors only?
It said precisely that, Mary.
Oh.
Well done, Mary.
Right, whose question was that for, originally?
Me.
Oh, right, okay. So, therefore, it's Mary's question. Mm-hmm. Whose car did the doctor steal?
Dr. Beavis.
Whoa.
I hope you did.
Played your joker on that one.
Do you have a joker left?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
You do have a joker left. You haven't played your joker?
I have a joker left, yeah.
Kirby.
Master.
What planet do they communicate with their eyebrows?
Delphine.
Did you play your joker?
He's already
played my joker last time.
Debbie.
And yes. that was when I looked up while we were talking about it anyway.
Oh, thank you. Debbie, what colour tie does Ransom wear?
I don't know, blue?
Nope.
Welcome to the pay attention to the colour of
the tie. Well, we are in a colour story now. It's quite relevant. Anybody? If you don't know, it's probably worth a guess, isn't it?
Blue.
It wasn't a very good guess, was it? No, the answer was red.
Oh, bloody.
Well, I got red.
Did you? Who's next? Sorry. Who's that last question for? Kirby.
Me.
Was it you? No, wasn't it? You answered the second question. Hang on, whose question was it?
It was mine.
Was
no,
it was mine. It was Debbie's.
Right, Mary.
Yes?
Where is the model of General Scobie being sent?
It's an easy one.
Play it.
Is it Madame Tussauds?
You didn't play your joker.
Oh, well, because I wasn't sure of the answer.
Kirby. When the doctor, yes, when the doctor complains about the primitive equipment he has to work with, Liz mentions what three bits of equipment in her defense?
Lasers, spectrographs, micron probes.
Well done.
Oh, nice.
He really enjoyed saying that answer, didn't he? Debbie. Debbie.
Yes.
Where does Liz find the key to the TARDIS?
Oh, I think I'm going to play my joker and say on the corner of the Briggs desk.
It was very precise.
Yes.
It was very stupidly put there.
Yes.
Very secure, wasn't it? Right. Mary.
Yes.
Why did the TARDIS not open for the Brigadier?
I'll play my joker in that one.
Oh, go on then.
Because the lock has a metabolism detector.
Word for word correct.
Excellent.
Yeah. Which means, of course, we finally get to play one of these.
Yeah. Ooh, she got one right.
moving on. We've got some feedback come through on the thread. Anne-Marie Blackall says, lol, the wool one. I think I'm talking about old woolly doctor here. And then Alan T. Butcher said, if I leave now and just keep driving, I can get to Jeff's soon after 6 a.m. And then he said...
It says diving.
He said, I fed... Hey, diving and keep diving.
Diving then.
And then he says, I fed back. So Deb's really looking forward to that. Right, next question goes to that last one. So it was Mary, wasn't it?
It was me.
Hey, Herbie.
Master.
Oh, yeah. Right. Where does Liz... Oh, I've done that one. Sorry. Right. What is the name of Seeley's dog? Or bloke in a shed doing an impression of
the dog. Oh, that's right. Barney.
Debbie.
Yes.
What setting blows up the doctor's equipment testing the swarm leader?
50 wow. meg cycle.
Whoa, what a smarty pants you are.
I didn't understand it. What was it?
What setting blows up the doctor's equipment testing the swarm leader?
Yes, I heard the question. I didn't
it's
hear the
50
answer.
Megacycles.
50 megacycles.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
All right, score update. In last place with 10 points, it's Mary. In joint second place with 14 points each, it's Kirby and Debbie. And in the lead with 18 points, it's me. Right, next question goes to Mary. Mm-hmm. What is the only staff... what's that say? Oh, yeah. What is the only staff the Brigadier can raise to battle the shop dummy Autons?
I don't know.
Okay, point three. Go on then, Debbie.
It's the only people at HQ he can get.
Got it. Kirby.
Yeah, we both said I know that at the same time.
Doesn't matter, Debbie got it. Kirby.
Master.
What previous Doctor Who story used the term total destruction?
The Dominators.
Debbie.
Someone gave me that answer earlier
Shut
today.
Up. Debbie.
Yes.
What does ECT stand for?
Oh, I know.
Electroconvulsion therapy.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Electroconvulsion therapy.
Marvellous. Right. Mary.
Yes?
You could have done having that question, couldn't you?
I could have done that question, yes.
Right. What does the doctor want instead of a salary to work for the Brigadier? point for each item.
He wants the car. He wants Liz. What is the third thing? Don't remember
the others.
Sorry, that bing ding was for Liz, yeah.
It's been mind, Mary.
Anything else?
Whatever else she misses, I can do.
Are you still going, Mary?
No, not anymore.
Okay, go then, Kirby.
Hey, facilities to repair the TARDIS, laboratory, equipment, and help from Miss Shaw.
Well, you don't get Liz twice.
I know.
Clothes.
Right, okay, yeah, so Kirby gets clothes, the two, yeah. And Debbie gets the... for the clothes. All right, so there we go. Next question goes to Kirby.
Oh, okay. Master?
Well, it is you next, is it not?
Hang on. I guess.
I lost the plot. Mary had that first question. It's you. It's you. Shut up. Putting me off. What actor played Hibbert?
What actor played Hibbert? Guy who was the Zygon guy.
Get on with it.
John Woodnutt. I kept saying it several times.
Why are you trying to talk yourself out of the answer? Right. Debbie.
Yes.
Who directed Spearhead from Space?
Derek Martinez.
Well.
I always said Martinez, but I guess I
would have said that too. So, yeah, I think it's Martinez, so I'll take the points away. Only joking. Okay, right. We've only got two questions left. And they're all going to be free-for-all questions, and the scores so far at the moment are in last place with 12 points, it's Mary. In third place with 19 points, it's me. And joint leaders with 20 points each, it's Kirby and Debbie. Two questions left, free-for-all. What Earth saying did the Doctor quote?
I know.
Go on then, Debbie.
It's never too late. That was my quote.
And the final question, free for all. Oh, for Christ's sake, I'm not going to answer that one. That is the final question, sorry. Because for some reason I've put the final question as one I've asked earlier on in the thingy. But there was a thing that came to mind, actually, in regards to questions.
Stop right now.
Hey?
You can stop with the questions right now.
No, but something came to mind when it comes to questions.
That's because Kirby picked Debbie to win.
That's right. That's right.
Deb doesn't sound particularly amused at this point.
No, I just looked at the pile of ironing I've got as well.
Yeah, it's very domestic. Right then. So the current scores in last place with 12 points, it's Mary. In third place with 19 points, it's me. In second place with 20 points, it's Kirby. And in the lead with 22 points, it's Debbie. But Mary predicted Debbie and remains on 12 points. Kirby predicted Debbie. What are you on about? She didn't remain on 12 points. She actually goes up to 24 points. Sorry, Mary.
24.
Oh, yeah. It's very late on a Sunday evening. I had not very little sleep over the last couple of days. Right, sorry. Kirby predicted Debbie and goes up to 40 points. Debbie predicted Kirby and goes to 22 points. And I predicted me to stay 19. So, therefore, this week's winner of the quiz, and it pains me to say it, is Kirby.
Congratulations.
Master?
Yes.
Since Mary's got to leave very shortly,
yes,
can we come up with when we're going to record the Silurians?
Probably next week.
Oh, thank you for asking that, because I was feeling like I would intrude by asking.
Aiming for Sunday. Can't say what's going to happen on Sunday.
It's a seven episodes.
Well,
come on.
Well, seven episodes. Ooh. Aiming for Sunday, but if not, it'll be the one afterwards. We're going to aim for Sunday, aren't we, Debbie? We're going to aim for Sunday and hope for the best. I'm on early this week, so I might get a chance to watch some Doctor Who.
Sunday after, so yeah.
Yeah, doubly so. I'm not here the Sunday after. That's my last day of my holiday.
So we're aiming towards Sunday the 23rd.
Yeah. That's what I said. Did I not say that, everyone?
Yes, you did.
We're just confirming.
Watch Match of the Day too, because Saints won today. So hurry up.
Your time does not change for another week after that, correct?
Yes.
Our time changes on the last Sunday. The last Sunday, not next
time. Adam, won't we, when the clocks change?
Fun.
Oh, I looked it up earlier. Your time changes on the 30th.
Right, before I forget, before we go move on to feedback. Right, as I said earlier on, this is, if you go to the 20 Megabyte Facebook page, you'll see this picture of a Rob Sherman doodle of a Dalek, which is dedicated to all listeners of the show, but only one listener will get this. And the question, what Ninth Doctor television story did Rob Sherman write? Okay, clues on the card. What Ninth Doctor story did Rob Sherman write? Please send your... Shut up! Send your answers in via email to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com, or if you happen to be in the Facebook thingy, you can personal message me, because I'm doing the blooming competition, and this lovely little prize, it's a very nice prize, will be winging its way over to you. And won't it cost me very much when posted, because it's only that big. I might even sign the back, because it's got my... Well, shall I go over to see Ali and get him to sign? Because he actually did the artwork for the 20 Megabyte logo. He probably wouldn't do that, though. Maybe I'll sign it there, and Ali can sign it there, perhaps. When I say Ali, I mean Alistair Pearson. Sorry, he's Ali to me. So there you go. Isn't that a good prize,
everyone?
You're
such a celebrity.
And the best thing about it, it didn't actually cost me anything. Well, not that much, anyway. So, yeah. What did you say, sorry, Mary?
I said, because you're such a celebrity, we would want
cheeky?
Your...
Right, let's move on. It's time for feedback, everyone. We have some feedback, which I'm fed up. My throat's going. Fortunately, I've got this beautiful lady called Debbie Merrows on the crew, who's particularly good at reading stuff out. However, Ashley Hughes writes, hey everyone. My feedback for Spearhead from Space. Oh no, that's not me at all. What such a great story to start off the new Doctor and in colour. Always liked this story and would recommend to anyone. Still find shop mannequins very scary. How did the Doctor know how to drive? Well, he's a doctor. Why was Channing at the hospital? Mind you, did drive a Land Rover, the second Doctor, didn't he? Only issue I have with this story is with Liz Shaw. Didn't really like her as a companion. Can't wait for the next story. Uh-huh. All the best, Ashley. Have you seen my shoes?
Yeah, very good, Ashley.
Thank you, Ashley. It's nice to get some feedback from different people, isn't it? Billy Kirkbright sent Deborah Melrose some feedback. And Deborah Melrose is going to... she sent it to me as well. Shall I read it? No, you can read it. It's a very long one.
I've got it right here if you want me to read it.
No, you can read it, actually. It'd be interesting to see if it's the same one I got.
Hi there, 20 megabiters. I'm approximately 4,000 kilometres away
one.
From home. What?
It's the same feedback. I'm just going to sit back and listen. Carry on.
Okay. I'm approximately 4,000 kilometres away from home, and as I've been so looking forward to you looking at the Pertwee era, I figured it would be remiss of me not to send in feedback on the first episode, despite being on the go. So here goes. Spearhead from Space by Robert Holmes. I remember seeing this...
It says Robert Homeless.
Yes, but I read it properly. I wasn't going to read out the spelling mistakes.
Just read out the mistakes. This is a 20 megabyte podcast where you read out the bad grammar and spelling mistakes. It makes it funnier.
Because we want to shame our listeners.
But you remember Mr. M many years ago, we used to get messages. Alicia used to get these special messages from Mr. M. And Mr. M's dialogue and his writing was so funny and bad.
Oh,
it just made it worse. Anyway, you remember that, Mary, dear?
Yes, I do.
You've been with this show far too long. You know that, don't you? Sorry, Debbie, carry on. Sorry, Billy. Sorry, I'll settle
that. I'm going to read it correctly. Right, Spearhead from Space by Robert Holmes. I remember seeing this for the very first time after I moved to Australia in 1979 when the ABC played DW repetitively at tea time on Mondays to Thursdays. I wasn't particularly captivated by it at first, but as time has gone on, I've learnt to love this story, a bit like you, Adam. I think mainly that's because it's the first story of John Pertwee who I consider to be the best Doctor ever. Aside from a new actor playing the role of the Doctor, it seems the show was rejuvenated in more ways than one. Firstly, we get to see Doctor Who being transmitted in Technicolor, and as the storyline depicts, with the Doctor being exiled to Earth, the stories were more Earthbound, and no longer did it seem primarily a programme involving travelling in time and space anymore. A concept I've always loved, quite frankly. Regarding the nesting consciousness and that aspect being slow-moving in the first two episodes, this gave way to establishing two of the main characters, Liz Shaw and the Brigadier, which of course become regular. Nice build-up dealing with Liz's scepticism and the Brigadier's stiff-necked persona and him dealing with and trying to avoid reporters. I love the rapport between the stiff upper lip Brig and the childlike Doctor, particularly when the Doctor shows a keen interest in keeping that old roadster. Great stuff. The Autons I found quite terrifying while under the control of the nesting consciousness with their expressionless plastic faces and their slow staggering walk. Channing I found downright sinister, and Pertwee's performance I found an absolute delight, being the Pertwee fan I am, with his comic elements throughout the story as well as great supporting cast. All the above made a fabulous recipe for what, in my opinion, was the best era of Doctor Who. Thank you, Billy.
Okay, but Billy, tell us what you really think about the...
Well, he sent me a message earlier today asking if it was too late, basically, to get feedback in. And I said, yes, it is.
Try next week.
I said, if you can't do it this week, then we'll honour it next week. But he said he really wanted to get it.
You said that, did you?
Yes. And you want feedback.
Yes, I do want feedback. And we got this feedback from somebody who hasn't fed back for a while.
Hello, 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Paul Gobert from Guernsey.
Yay.
And I'm finally back after several weeks of ups and downs, unfortunately.
I hope he's okay.
Yes, I'm back to give you my feedback on the beginning of the Pertwee era and Spearhead from Space. I really like this story. Pertwee absolutely shines as the Doctor. He's fantastic. Big smile on his face most of the time, treating the Brigadier with disdain. The Brigadier just is absolutely fabulous as ever. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's very silly, especially the first two episodes. There seems to be a lot of running around and escaping and randomly running away to delay things a little bit more. But it's all good-hearted fun. It's, yeah, very entertaining. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Hope to be back regularly now, and look forward to speaking to you again about the Silurians. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Oh, thank you, Paul. Isn't it great to have Paul back, everyone?
Thank you, Paul. Hope to hear from you again.
Indeed. Jeff Waddle. Have you got Jeff Waddles?
No.
Well, you're going to get it now. My throat's a bit sore. I think I'm going to really struggle reading stuff. So, what's your name again?
You should send these things over sooner so I'm all ready and we can...
It's more interesting for you to get it this way.
We'd love to hear you stumble.
Yeah. Right, Jeff Waddles arrived with you now.
Right.
Got it?
Get a sore throat at this rate. The title is a lie. There is no invasion from space from an alien who has a spear through its head. This is quite clear.
That's a good one. Took me a second to get that.
This is quite clearly an attack on poor funding of the NHS and a showing up of the fact that there is little security in the hospital until UNIT arrives. It also obviously is a comment that politics is crap in the 70s because half the government were replaced by shop dummies and nobody noticed, as if that would happen today. The bloke in the UNIT tent deserved to die because his shaking of the coffee was overactive and exaggerated to such an extent that the I mint some tummies. It did, however, make me wary of dummies in shop windows when I was a kid. And Pertwee's sex face when wrapping a rubber thing around. made me very wary of men who had rubber things round their necks. However, I didn't understand why interviewing the Autons with the 70s equivalent of an iPhone killed them. Oh, well. Or should that be, oh, well, given Fleetwood Mac. There you go. He should get a ding.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. I can't do a ding there.
Yes.
Where am I? How much cows? Would the... What's going on with my phone?
I don't know.
How much would the government needed to spend... needed to have fed to make the security in the hospital effective. They could have funded it all on plastic. Not a good idea with what happens next. Interrogator of the Autons. That's a dog's dinner. Cheers.
That was funny. Oh, thank you, Jeff.
Yes, well done. I'll just turn the telly on because I don't want to miss that for the day too.
I'll not be going in a long time.
And with this, I have to go, so I got to say goodbye.
Yeah, the next one's specifically about you. A bit of fan mail just come through, Mary.
I'm sure it is. All right, talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Right. Oh, we got some more coming through, Debbie. I'm just... Oh, hang on, the telly's on. Sorry, I just turned the sound down. I do apologise. Oh, she's gone. Bye, Mary. Right, I'm getting distracted by football. Okay. Deb is waiting with bated breath for the following message.
I am indeed.
It sounds like this. Got it?
Yes, it's another essay. Right, let's see if I can get through this without messing up. Right, Polymers Unchained. Dear 20 megabytes. Spearhead from Space is, of course, a closely studied rip-off or homage to Quatermass 2. As such, it is a closely studied... allegory of concerns about the damaging effects of industrialization and the corruption of governments by big business. It treats the former as an alien force that has quickly transformed the processes and objectives of a doll factory. Then it represents the latter by the direct placement of plastic doppelgangers into all levels of government and other power centers. The inspired insight here by writer Robert Holmes is, of course, to use the Doctor's appearance on the scene and his discordant appearance from previous experience of him to represent the fact that in the face of these new challenges from corporate power and dangers of technological development spiralling out of control, it is necessary that the modern demos must be able to recognise and... follow new democratic processes to reassert the population's grip on political power. We also learn that Chief Petty Officer Pertwee is not the ignoramus he was painted on radio in the Navy Lark. I love that programme. As he eventually fools everyone into thinking he is Patrick Troughton, even though he is a large part of a foot taller and is blatantly not monochromatic. Also, Private Cheeseman, the journalist and latter-day member of the Wilmington-on-Sea Home Guard in the 1940s, was by the 1970s, or is it the 1980s, undercover in Ashbridge Hospital as a porter before going on then to be undercover as a miner in... Oh, I can't say that. Clan Fairfax, a few years later, reporting a virulent bout of Verderos mortality. All in all, Spearhead from Space is a firm-footed, albeit partly unshoed, introduction to the Third Doctor. He is outstanding, even while sitting or laying down. This is a new show, renewed and regenerated. Episode 1 is an episode so significant that it rivals Episode 2 of The Space Pirates in importance and cannot be missed. It cannot be denied that this was a bigger change in the show's format and one of the greater moments than any other in the 53-year history of the programme. Next up, Dr. Quatermass and the Cave Monsters, the sci-fi hardened in colour, but partly in the dark. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you so much, Alan.
Thank you.
We have to create this new part of the show called
Your Post, Andy.
Time for Debbie to Squirm.
Yeah, thanks.
Welcome to Make My Podcast, is Ian Kirk. Spearhead from Space by Robert Holmes. This show is wearing khaki. The big deer is not. I don't like his new uniform much. The Doctor builds a device to zap autons. A bit like the Second Doctor zapping ice warriors.
Mm.
At the end of episode 1, the Doctor is shot dead.
I'm not dead! He's not dead!
The Autons are here in the first colour episode. They're in the first episode of New Who.
Really?
We see how they tried to take over the UK. Were they trying to take over the world one country at a time? It was weird how they put the real General Scobie on display. House of Wax meets Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Liz Shaw lasted one season before she was replaced by Jo Grant. The Doctor is now stuck on just one planet. I know the feeling. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. See you, Kirk, everyone.
Thank you, Ian.
One last bit of feedback was from, if I can find it, where's it gone? Where is it? Oh, there it is. Yes, a chap called John Davey, who might have mentioned in the previous show. He's a Doctor Who monster. Well, he's a nice bloke, but he plays Doctor Who monsters, as in Cybermen. Anything that basically involves wearing a suit and looking big and tough as John Davey in Doctor Who. And occasionally unmasked soldiers, he plays unit soldiers and stuff like that. All of New
really?
Things. I mean,
you're
really.
Talking, this is a cosplayer, or he was really
real
on the
John
show?
Davey, who's in Doctor Who regularly. I interviewed. If you listened to last week's show, for God's sake,
I haven't finished listening to it.
Anyway, he said, "Love the podcast. Thanks for the compliments." So there are feedback from a Doctor Who current actor on the show.
Awesome.
Awesome indeed. Right, next thing we're going to talk about, because it's getting very close to my deadline, which is Match of the Day. Well, actually, not Match of the Day, it's not on tonight, but the Saints game's got highlights on Sky, is whowon.co.uk, where I'm going
is to... Is that whowon.co.uk?
Coming, everyone. And Who Won? Are bound to have some good stuff for Christmas, aren't they, Debbie?
I've been ogling the pizza cutter.
Apparently they used to do a number plate, Who Won.
Yeah, too bad they don't have that anymore.
I wouldn't mind to have one of them, but no, I've never got a chance to get one.
Yeah, you nearly got one of them.
Who Graphica?
Oh, I like that pizza cutter. Sound effects.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Sonic pizza cutter. Apparently, Linda, who was the winner of the cosplay competition at Dimensions, that's Linda Hughes, no relation, I don't think, to Ashley. She said that if you want to cosplay the 11th Doctor, get the sonic screwdriver remote. It feels and has the it's more accurate to the actual one on the show, unless you want to pay about £400 or £500 for a replica prop, which some cosplayers do indeed. But the pizza cutter's quite novel, nice, isn't it? Rich. Pardon?
Rich.
Did you understand what he said then?
I think he said it'd be nice to be rich, because I was thinking.
Oh, yes, so, well, wouldn't, yes, exactly. Well, I did go in for the 135 million euro millions draw, but no, I don't know.
Didn't win it.
Who Graphica is a book by several people. Don't quite know what it says. I'm going to click on that, something new. Just How Tall Is a Master? Who was killed by the psychic? It sounds like my book, but in paper form. And it's got an official Doctor Who logo on the front of it, so there must be some BBC connection there. It's about facts about Doctor Who, basically, if you want to know things about Doctor Who. But you can get it from Who One, or you can buy my book as an e-book, which is called...
I have your book.
Is it 101 Interesting Facts About Doctor Who? I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. Yes. Get it on Amazon. For your Kindle. We can get it on iTunes. For your iPad. Or your iPhone. Kirby has it.
I've used it for reference for quizzes at Doctor Who conventions.
We're talking of quizzes, I've got a quiz book out called The Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book.
Oh, that's the one I've used as a quiz, yes.
Thanks, Kirby. That's also available on Amazon and iTunes. Right, and the TARDIS notebook, £8.99.
That looks glorious. Yeah,
glorious. It's A5, so it's quite large. And lined. Quite useful. I might get that, actually, for doing the quiz.
I like lined paper.
£8.99. I was just saying, Debbie, I might get that for the quiz instead of trying to find pieces of paper. A special quiz notebook.
Yeah, why not? I've got a special Dalek notebook that I get from the shop down the road, and I've got about six of them lined.
Is that movie shop in the town? Is that the movie shop thing in the town, that shop?
I walk in, they go, hi, we've got some new Doctor Who stuff.
It's lots of people's favourite shop in Cowes, you know, that shop. Pizza Cutter, £12.49. And, of course, we've got the new adventures of Bernice Summerfield. In fact, Sam Stone, who I interviewed on the show last week, has had some dabblings in Big Finish storyline writing, but not Doctor Who yet. She's lovely. History of Humankind, Justin Richards, and 12 Doctors of Christmas. It does indeed. All these items and more can be purchased from whoone.co.uk, along with the 12th book, Doctor's Sonic Screwdriver, which I have somewhere. It seems to have disappeared under a pile of stuff in this room, but I have got it. And lots of Big Finish audio books and plays via CD. It's a treasure trove for Doctor Who fandom. That's whoone.co.uk. And
is that whoone.co.uk?
Lavazzi.co.uk is where you can, if you talk about cosplaying, now you can get so much good cosplay stuff from Lavazzi, can't you, Debbie?
Yes, you can.
You better
indeed say
this, because obviously you'll be working for them if there's ever another BBC event at the XL.
Well, they actually were asking for people to work, but it was a weekend I couldn't get away.
Where were they asking for people to work?
Some other convention somewhere. It was like, I think it was the Star Trek one, actually.
Ah, okay. So scarves, obviously. You can't be a Doctor Who fan without a scarf.
Yes, it's Kirby.
Have you got one?
Yes.
Kirby's got one.
Oh, yes.
Debbie hasn't got one.
He's asking.
Debbie?
Yes?
You haven't got one.
I've got the TARDIS scarf.
Yeah, but that's
me.
Not a fourth Doctor scarf, is it?
No, I've got one, but it's a copy, remember?
No, it's not what I'm talking about. Anyway, but you can get a very good replica of the fourth Doctor scarf, whether it be a shortened version, one like Kirby's, a full-length
version. My favourite of our sponsors,
My favourite scarf is a Series 18 scarf, which I don't wear very often because I'm trying to keep it nice. But I did indeed take my
that's the burgundy
scarf.
One, correct?
Yes, but that's on sale. That's gone down from $49.99 to $29.99.
Can I just
that's
say, you're interrupting my little piece on Lavazzi. When I went up to Newcastle, I walked along the riverbank to find out what time the convention started, and I bumped into Leo and... I've forgotten his name. Anyway, walking the other way. Pardon? Aaron and Leo. I bumped into Aaron and Leo dressed in their cosplay outfit, and they admired my scarf. But it was so difficult taking it because I couldn't fit it in my bag, so I had to wear it on the way back. But yeah, it's a essential piece of kit, isn't it, for Doctor Who fans. It doesn't matter whether you go cosplaying or not. A fourth Doctor scarf is fairly, even if you've got a sort of one that's not quite right, if it's a long, long scarf, you know, people are always going to associate that with Doctor Who. And you can get perfect ones. In fact, they'd even admire my scarf because it had the Lavazzi logo on it. So even Lavazzi stuff is starting to sound a bit sort of designer. So, yeah. Isn't that great? And Deb's now going to finish off the show by talking about our Audible offer, which isn't going to be lasting for much longer, I don't think.
Well, they haven't really said anything about it, have they, unfortunately? No. audible.co.uk/20mb. Go over there and enjoy a free trial, 30 days, and then you pay only $7.99 a month for access to 200,000 plus titles of some really damn fine audiobooks, and some not so great, but, you know, each to their own.
It's all down to taste.
Yeah, exactly, each to their own. And it's, yeah, you could save up to 70% on additional audiobooks. And, yeah, you can, it's really good thing to listen to.
Spit it out, Debbie, spit it out.
Obviously, we don't get much feedback as to whether or not you're doing it. So if you could let us know you've done it, then maybe we can let them know.
Yeah,
that,
okay, excuse me, you owe us some money, yeah. Right, I'm talking about John Davey. Now, he pointed out when he saw my T-shirt that, oh, what's that, the 20 megabit Doctor Who podcast? Oh, no, it's megabyte. Or if it's megabyte, it should be a capital M and a capital B. No one's ever spotted that one before, have they? However, we're sticking with it.
That's picky.
But brilliant at the same time. After all these years we've been doing the show, the one person that picks it out is somebody who's a current actor in the series. Okay, fair enough.
Who knew?
Next week, and I am aiming to get the Silurians watched this week so we can do the show on Sunday.
Since we've done that fairly recently, I shouldn't have any problem doing it again.
Are we not doing Who News?
Oh, should we?
Well, yeah, because they got Mr. Men books out based on the
Saints
Doctor.
Are on in a minute. That's
kind of important.
Oh, the Saints are on in a minute.
Okay, all right, and the Power of the Dalek to be shown in US cinemas, lucky you.
Yeah, gloss over it and find the interesting stuff quick.
Okay, classic series writer to write contribute script for series 10.
Ooh.
Stephen Moffat.
What about Stephen series? What about Stephen Moffat?
I'm just trying to bring up Stephen Moffat has confirmed that Graham Harper.
Ooh.
And Frank Cottrell Boyce and Sarah Dollard. Mike Bartlett, but that's it so far. That's it glossing over.
And apparently Jonah Coleman is rumoured to be coming back in series 10.
Yeah, the
Master.
Yes.
Class is out and
a new when's Class coming out?
I don't know.
I think it's the 22nd, isn't it?
Yeah,
I don't know, I'll probably forget, but BBC Three is an online channel, so you should be able to watch it whenever you like.
So are we going to discuss it next week?
If I can get around to watching it, but I'm going to try and
concentrate.
I'm concentrating on Silurians, and I want to concentrate on this football match that's just about to start on Sky Sports 1. So, next week, Silurians, please watch it. Please give us your feedback about the show. We're in colour era now, and there's no of these reconstructions, so you can all join in the journey. John Pertwee.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to the show, and c'est la vie. Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Take care.
C'est la vie, that didn't really mean anything, did it?
Who podcast is an apvservices.co.uk production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk and audible.com. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.